This is Tony Schnur, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about iOS 14. This is about 1 hour to discuss what's new in iOS 14, as well as later on, I'll let people ask questions. So part of this meeting will be driven by you, and that's the audience or whoever is out there, because everyone has different levels of iOS knowledge. And there's some of y'all, I'm sure, have been using an iPhone for years and know quite a bit. But just as myself, who've been using an iPhone since 2011, I'm still learning. And there's things I don't necessarily know until I need to know it, and then I go figure it out. So it's always important to know where you can find some key resources for learning things. Matter of fact, I'll mention that at the beginning, because there's some things that I'll mention. And if you go, I want to know more about that, you can go out and actually get more detailed information and even find out things that I never even thought to tell you. And that is, there's the one main place, there's a group that set up a website called appleviz.com. And what that is appleviz.com. And that stands for Apple, like visually impaired support. And they have all kinds of blogs, and people post questions, comments. Anytime a new iOS comes out, there's a team out there that will post information to the best of their knowledge as to whether or not this version of iOS is an improvement for VoiceOver, if there's any caveats, anything to be aware of, because sometimes when there's a new iOS, you might want to know about, if it's going to do certain things, because if there's something that's broken, it could be a showstopper for you, but for the next guy, it might not. He or she might say, I don't care about that. I'll go ahead and update. So it kind of puts it in your hands. And then also you can follow that, because generally if there's something that's really bad, usually you're going to get an update fairly quick. As a matter of fact, iOS 14, when it was put out there, it didn't take long for iOS 14.0.1 to be posted by Apple. However, I will tell you that iOS 14 is pretty stable. It's not, for those who remember iOS 8, it's not going to present you with a lot of issues. So there are some new things in iOS 14, but it's not going to crash your phone. Now, my personal, I've been using iOS 14 on the new SE 2020, which has the same processor as the iPhone 11. And I've seen it operated. I've seen it used on somebody's 10R, and it worked great. And I know that it gets supported. You can even go back as far as the 6S and the original SE. And I've heard some people say it might be showing a few signs of slowing down, but not too bad from what that's just the feedback I've gotten on that. So yeah, out there on Apple Viz, there's podcasts that you can go out there and listen to. And the podcasts are really neat, because they not only have, not once a month, they come out with, they'll put iOS Unleashed, and they'll have some Apple people on. They'll be talking about stuff that's went on for the past month and all that. But there's a lot of little podcasts, such as somebody will post a podcast how to handle if you've loaded iOS 14 on your phone and you've discovered VoiceOver's acting a little delayed. As you swipe through things, if you see a little bit of lag time, there's a workaround. We're talking about a 7-minute podcast or so. It's not very long. And there's another one about the app library, which is a new feature. And there's several of them. Those are just some examples. Now with iOS 14, I'll go into a couple of new things that are in iOS 14 that I've noticed, and things I think are kind of neat. And then after I've done that, I'll welcome people to ask questions and, bring up, and that's where this will become, more dynamic, as far as I'll let I'll try to answer the questions that folks actually have at that point. But one thing I'll mention is the app library is a new feature in iOS 14 that they've added. And that, if you're a VoiceOver user, If you noticed, when you open up your phone, you might be at your main app screen, but as you add apps, you may start getting more screens. Maybe you'll have two screens, for instance. And I'll just use two screens as an example. You then previously, if you use your three finger swiping left and right to move from screen to screen, or you can at the bottom right, there's a little area you can swipe up and down on. But if you use the three finger, you pull to the right. If you're on screen one and you pull to the right, you go to the spotlight area, where you find widgets and whatnot in the spotlight, where you can type in things and search on your phone. That is still there. But now, if you start pulling to the left, you swipe to the left, so now you're on screen one, you go left again, you're on screen two, and say that's your last screen. Well, you go to the left again, it will take you into the app library. And the app library is really another way to find your apps on the phone. And that is at the very top, you'll find a search bar with a place where you can type in something. And then right underneath that, you'll start finding things you might find some suggestions such as, and they'll look like there'll be apps that you've probably opened recently. Like if I open my phone, I look in there, I might see settings because I recently been in settings. I may see Facebook. I may see Duolingo because that's an app that I recently used. Then it starts showing some recently updated apps, and it'll start showing, it'll tell you what categories they're in, and you can kind of go down through categories you can either just keep swiping to the right and sort of see what's there, but you can also, if you're familiar with using the rotor, you can spin your rotor till you hear it say containers, which is similar to, because Apple, in some cases, instead of putting heading markers, they put container markers, which is kind of similar, but you kind of think of containers as being like sections, like section markers. They call them containers because it's sort of little boxes that contains certain things. And you can, if you rotor to containers and then swipe up and down, you can jump through major categories. Now, the one thing is that one nice thing that you can do with this app library is if, say, you have an app that you've gotten ambitious and you've got four pages of stuff and you have numerous folders and you've got an app and you haven't used it for a while and you buried it in a folder and you can't remember where it's at, one thing you can do is back up at the top where that search bar is. If you just tap on that search bar where you can type in, well, if you tap on it, but you don't type anything in, you will see an alphabetical listing of every app on your phone. And say you know that it was a cooking app and you knew it started with recipe, but you couldn't remember the rest of the name. Well, you can start typing in like the first few letters of the word recipe and it would narrow it down for you. Or you could just use the index column on the right side of your phone. You can tap that and swipe down to the letter R and just start right swiping until you hear the app name you want. You could do that. So you've got two ways of, and of course, now I have, I don't know how many apps on my phone. I probably got 150 apps. I could, if I wanted to, before I started typing, I could just A to Z, start reading through my apps going, oh, I have that still. Let me get rid of it. Or I might try to use that again. I might go in there and check that out. I forgot all about it. So you could kind of see what all you really have. But if you start typing something, it'll narrow it down. You can then you'll see, like, say you start typing in the word recipe, and now you see four apps that have that in there. You could then you can find one and double tap on it, and you'll open that app and go right into it. So that's the app library. And that is, as I mentioned, that is Thomas Donville, who calls himself Anonymouse on Apple Viz. He has done a pretty good little 12-minute podcast on that. So yeah, check that out. There's also the other feature that I have been playing with in iOS 14 is they've put voiceover recognition is a feature that they've added. And you'll want to go and you can go into your settings to enable it. I believe that text recognition is already enabled by default, I believe. At least it seemed like it was on mine. But if you go into settings under accessibility, then double tap on voiceover, you'll find, you can then go through that and you'll see near, it's one of the, not the very first one, but it's one of, it's near the top, you'll find voiceover recognition. And you double tap on that, you'll find the first thing, it may give you a little introduction the first time you do it, and it'll kind of warn you. It'll say, that, pretty much letting you know, we Apple do not take any responsibility for anything that could go wrong by you using this. In other words, if you feel that they're not for any medical or personal loss you got from using this feature because something got misread. It's a typical disclaimer. But if you get that and it just presents you with an okay button or whatever, just hit okay. And then you'll go into the, you'll see three different categories. The first one is image. I may not be using the right word, recognition. I think it says, but it will automatically recognize images for you, pictures, such as even in Facebook and on web pages. It will attempt to give a description. And, you know, of course, your mileage will vary on that one. Some will might just say trees, blue sky, woman, baby, you know, holding a baby or something like that. And something else, you might just get another one that just says flowers and water or something, you know, so you'll get more detail. And I think this is a work in progress. So you may see improvement as time goes on. The recognition will start getting better, I believe. And the first time you see that, if you go in there and you see that it's off, you want to double tap that. And then inside there, there'll be a checkbox to turn it on. And when you turn it on the first time, it'll tell you that it uses X number of megabytes. And I don't remember exactly what it is because there's one of these features uses about 140 megabytes and the other one only uses about 13 or something like that. Now, if you have most of the newer phones now, by at minimum, you're going to have a 64 gig phone. Or if you got the middle of the road, you got a 128 or even a 256. So that's not a whole lot to be concerned with, but it will download it. And depending on your internet connection, it really, you know, I wouldn't expect it to take very long. It probably took me about 4 seconds for the 140 meg to download. Or at least that's when it settled down. And then once you turn that on, you can go to the next feature that is, you have screen recognition. You have that one, and then at the very bottom, you have text recognition. The text recognition most likely will be on already. And what that does is if it sees an image with text in it, most of the time it will recognize the text. I did have a picture for some strange reason. The image recognition told me there was text in the picture, but it did not read any text. But I had another picture where it did read the text. So that's where I say your mileage will vary, because these three things together, they all are three pieces of a puzzle. So that's the text recognition. It might be, if it's not on, you'll want to turn it on. Especially if you're a totally blind person who relies on voiceover, or you're a low partial who really cannot read the print very well. Now, the middle one, you'll have to turn it on. That's the screen recognition, and it'll download. I think it's the one that's not very big when it tells you. And that one will, what that does is, if you're running an app that has elements that VoiceOver normally would not read, it will make an attempt to identify those objects. And this is something that you can actually turn off and on in each app. So I believe once you turn that on, you can actually go in there, and there are apps where you can turn that off and on in each. You can actually find the app and turn off and on. But there's another way that I think is a little more efficient. Once you have that on, you can, what I would recommend doing is making sure that those are in your rotor, because you can add those to your rotor. They might add automatically, but if they don't, you would want to go into your rotor, into the VoiceOver, go to rotor, and then flick all the way through your rotor options until you see screen recognition and image recognition, because you'll see both of those. I don't think you'll see text recognition. You might, but memory is kind of short here. But yeah, you'll see screen recognition and image recognition. If they're not selected, I would select them and then back out of there. there. Because now, if you're using an app that has a lot of unidentified elements, you can turn your rotor over to screen recognition and flick up until it says, it'll say turn on in settings, and then go try to use your app. And you might start, as you're flicking around or exploring the screen, you'll might discover it's actually reading elements. Because there's some where it might, if it's pretty accessible already, it might make things look a little different and it might bother you. So you may not necessarily want to just carte blanche turn it on for everything. But there are times when you might want to turn on somebody. And on Apple Viz, there was somebody, they did a little demonstration on that feature. And there's an app out there called Song Pop, which is it's a game. And he was just showing the main screen on Song Pop, which I had actually downloaded that app last year. And then I deleted it off my phone because it totally had a blank screen. When I loaded the app, I could move around the screen. It just click, 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 click. It spoke absolutely nada. So I remembered that, and he demonstrated that. He opened up Song Pop, moved around the screen, nada. He then spun his rotor over to the screen recognition area, flicked up until it said turn on in settings. He then turned away from that, back to character or word or something, and then he started exploring the screen on Song Pop, and there were about four or five elements on the screen that it recognized. And that's just an example of how that feature works. So just another tool that we managed to get added to our toolbox as voiceover users. There's another thing that I was going to mention that this may or may not be a problem, but if there's some folks might have encountered, if you've updated your phone to iOS 14 and you've noticed a lag in voiceover where you're trying to flick right, moving from element to element, if you're getting a little bit of lag, this is something Apple is aware of, and I believe they're going to fix it, and if they haven't already. But there's a strange workaround for it, and there's about a 7-minute Apple Viz podcast on that as well, giving the description of walking you through it. But basically, it's just the trick is you can go into your settings, accessibility, voiceover, and what you're doing is you're going to then go down to the speech settings and double tap on that. And what you're really doing is you're going to add another language to your rotor. You go into that where under speech, and then there's an option to add a language to your rotor. And if you have already done so, you'll see them in there. And at the bottom, there's an add language. And you're probably asking me, but I don't speak any other languages. Well, the trick here is that your default language, say it's U.S. English, Samantha, you go in there, you can add another U.S. English language. I think that Thomas Donville has experimented and said it looks like you can only add two of the same language, but it will let you do two of them. So you could go in there and add language and then select another U.S. English language. And you see, even the same one, it's another voice you want to use. It may need to download it. You then make sure it's in your rotor. So you might, if languages is not in your rotor, you'll want to go back to, back up one level in the menu and then go to rotor and go down and look for language selection and make sure that's selected. And if it is, then you're good. Then you can rotor over to language, and you'll have those two U.S. English. You'll have one that'll say U.S. English default, and the other one you just change it to the other one. And then next thing you know, as you're right swiping around your screen, it just is going real quick. And not everybody's going to have this. You might be like, what are you talking about? Because for some strange reason, I didn't have the problem when I loaded iOS 14, but I've had several people who did. Now, you look in my language settings in my rotor, I have UK English, US English, I've got another US English, I have Espanol, Mexicano, I've got and regular Espanol. So Since I had all those languages, and it probably auto-switched to Spanish in this one app I used, so who knows, it probably did that and switched back, and that probably solved my problem before I even knew it was a problem. So you may not have that problem, but if you're currently frustrated by that, that's a way you can fix it until the next build comes out for iOS 14, where I'm sure Apple will fix that, so you won't have to worry about that. All right, I have, if I'm willing to open this up for questions. So if anybody wants to ask a question, you can raise your hand and I'm sure Mike will acknowledge you.
All right. Well, let's see if Tammy or someone can get them. I was going to mention to you, I saw the first awesome implementation last night of the, what do you call it? The screen.
The screen recognition?
Screen recognition. When I was playing President Rick Abono video last night, right, an interview, a TV show, if you went over in Zoom on the far left, it told you, like, how many people, and when it switched to a commercial, and it said what was in the commercial, and I was like, wow, that's cool, you know, because I was playing in WinApp. It wasn't marked up. It didn't have, like, you know, any kind of closed captioning or anything. It picked it up, and I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, somebody told me they were watching a video. It was a YouTube video or something, and someone held up a sign, and it read the sign. So yeah, it's pretty nice. It's pretty neat. I got a feeling it's going to just get better.
Okay, this is Tyler Sherrick. Let's take a question from Anna Trotman. I'll unmute her.
You might have unmuted the wrong person.
No, I missed you. You had your hand up, right? So I unmuted you. Do you have a question?
Yes, actually. So I don't think you covered this. I kind of jumped in on here late. So apologies if I'm repeating something you already said. But I have an iPhone 8. I have the latest version of iOS 14.0.1. And sorry about the noise, guys. But I have the screen recognition settings on by default. When I upgraded, it came on by default. But I don't have any settings I can change. So, and I've heard other people have this, having the same issue. We're not sure if it's older phones or what it is, but there are no settings. Is there any information you have on that front?
There might be. I'm trying to dig through my fog here. This might be an issue that some of these features I've seen. I know there's a couple of these features will work on the iPhone XR and later. Mm-hmm. We work on the 10, the 11, and of course the SE 2020, because that's running the Fusion 13 mm-hmm. processor, which is the 11's processor.
Okay.
Well, that could be your problem. Now, mm-hmm. if you're talking about you couldn't find any settings if you had it on, mm-hmm. but you weren't sure how to find it, you could try to go into your rotor and see mm-hmm. if image recognition and screen mm-hmm. recognition, find out if those are in your rotor, and if they're in the rotor settings, if they're the options, you can, if it's not selected, double tap it until it says selected, and then see if you can then rotor to it when you're in and turn it off and on.
Would be helpful because, yeah, I mean, like I said, everything's on by default, and I don't have any settings to mess with it in the voiceover settings. So.
Yeah, and there might not, and you may, yeah, because I do know that there is, with the earlier iPhones, some of this stuff, there are some disclaimers about not getting much mileage out of them on the, if you're talking about an 8, 7, and especially the 6S.
Okay.
Now, I will say that I mentioned I stressed the fact that it works on the SE 2020 because for people who are on a budget, the SE 2020 is a, you know, as far as for iPhones go, the price point's really good. And basically your SE 2020 looks just like an iPhone 8. I showed you my phone, I've got an SE 2020, 128 gig phone with the Fusion 13 processor, and if I handed it to you, you would think I just gave you your phone back because it's going to look like you're 8.
Okay.
But it's the price point, you know, it's much cheaper phone, so that is something that to remember, that if you're at that point where you're wanting to be able to use some newer features like that and use them more effectively and faster, that's one way to handle that. But hopefully, yeah, but then, so you, that might, I got a feeling it might be because of your processor that you might not be getting much mileage out of that.
Okay, sure, sure. Thanks.
All right, Anna.
This is more of a comment and an announcement. The tuning features.
There you go.
The tuning features that I like in iOS 14 is the back tap, which is where you can put a double tap for one thing and a triple tap for another thing. For me, it's voiceover and accessibility shortcuts. And then the one finger double tap to go back when you have a lot of things opened, when you have a lot of back buttons. And then on Tuesday, October 13, is the Apple event where iPhone 12 will be announced.
Okay, thank you. Those are all very good comments. And the back tap, especially, I haven't played with that personally because, I have a phone that still has a capacitive touch home button. However, if I didn't, I strongly suspect I would probably be, I'd have already been playing with that. If I had the 11 Pro.
Yes, sir. I have the iPhone XS Max.
I've been using
that. And I also use two accessibility shortcuts, voiceover and MFI hearing aids. So that's why I assigned that.
Okay, yeah, very good. Very good comment there. That's a valuable one.
Okay, we have 2295. Thought you were unmuted. Ready? Right. Would you question 2295?
I think Anna Trotman is unmuted. I'm not sure. Looks like it.
Yeah, I thought I also had 2295, but
I just asked them to unmute.
Well, while we're waiting, I do have a quick question.
Hello?
There she is.
Oh, sorry. Hi. I hope that this is not jumping the gun or anything or going way backwards.
That's not a problem.
You said that how far back did the phone, that the 14.0, iOS 14, how far does it go back on the phone? Like I have an 8 Plus.
It will definitely work for that. It'll work on that, yes. Now, that's where I was talking to the other individual and I mentioned that it's possible you might not, some features may not work as well. They're features that you don't have if you haven't updated yet. So you're not losing anything. There's a possible you might have a couple of features that you just don't gain, but it will run on the 8 Plus.
Okay. But if you did have like a 6 Plus, then you could lose some information.
If it was a 6S Plus, not the 6, because there was a 6 that came out, and then there was a 6S, and both the 6 and the 6S had Plus models as well, but they were separate years. The 6s came out 1 year, and then the following year they had the 6S model. That was the following year's phone. And I'm pretty sure that if it was a flat, just a regular 6 or 6 Plus, I wouldn't recommend trying to put iOS 14 on there. But even if
you
I don't
can't.
Even think it'll let you, I think nope. it'll just okay. not let you.
Actually, 12.47. It can't even do 13. So if you got a 6.
Yeah, because that was. Yeah, because with the 6, I wasn't real clear. Because I know the 5S, the old 5S, will only let you run the latest 12.
It will or it won't?
The 12 is will, as long as you can go with the 6.
But if you got a six, we're kind of throwing
numbers around. It can be a little confusing because we're talking about iOS 12, not the iPhone 12.
I have one more question for you.
Sure.
Real briefly. I usually have this problem with my phone. In my settings, I have it set for my voiceover speech rate.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm like on my front page or my home page or even in my app page, on my app page, I can touch something or I can swipe the wrong way and it'll keep continuing to take my speech rate down. How do I lock that in? How do you make sure that if I wanted that 59%, how do I keep it there? Because it seems like it won't stay. I thought I locked it in my setting, but I guess not.
Yeah, there's a couple of things you can do with that. That's a problem I've gotten. I've had a number of people talk to me about that. And what I think is happening in that case is I think it's easy if you accidentally swipe at an angle. Sometimes that can happen, but you can, if you find yourself not changing your speech rate very often, you probably have speech rate in your rotor. what you have. So here's one thing you can do. You could, because as you spin your rotor, you'll get to an area where you have your rate. And then you swipe up and down to change it. So, yeah, not container, but speech rate.
Okay.
And that's how you can change your speech rate on the fly. Well, what you can do is you can make sure you have it on the speech rate you want, or you can even go into VoiceOver and change it. But you could also, to make sure that you don't accidentally change it again in the with the rotor, you can go into VoiceOver settings,
right.
You'll find the rotor button and hit that, and then swipe down until you hear it say speech rate, and it'll say speech rate, it'll say selected. Double tap on it to unselect it and then go out of that. And that should remove it. So now speech rate is no longer in your rotor anymore. Now you can still change your rate, but you can still change your rate of speech, but what you have to do is go into VoiceOver settings and change your speech rate there. But
that's what I did before,
right?
And that's
the way.
Swipe up and down to select. Sorry about that.
Right. That's what you do, and you can take that out of your rotor, so that'll get rid of the. I've had a couple of people do that because they, even though they kind of knew what they were doing and they knew they were must be in an angle. I'm not sure. They just weren't sure, but they're like, can I turn it off? And I'm like, sure. And I just showed them how to go into their rotor, the rotor settings under VoiceOver and just unselect that. So it's no longer part of your rotor. And you can always, if you decide later you want it back, you can just go back in and turn it back on. But you'll probably, you'll be happy without it. Yeah.
In settings, it says rotors, or you just go to the voice, you go into settings and go to VoiceOver.
Yeah, you go into you open settings, go to accessibility, right. Go to voice, then under accessibility, you choose VoiceOver.
Right.
And then under VoiceOver, you'll find a couple of voice, you'll find two rotor things in there. It's the first one. It just says rotor, and you double tap that. And in there, it will show you everything that you can use in your rotor. And you'll see some things are selected and some things are not. And if there's, of course, if you go down there, you'll find the rate of speech. You'll find that selected, and you'll just double tap it to unselect it. It's a toggle. So whatever state it's in, when you double tap it, it flip-flops it.
Okay. Well, I know there's many other questions I want to ask you, but I appreciate you answering that for me. Thank you so much.
No problem. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Christopher Meyer.
Hey, guys. First of all, really good presentation. Really appreciated everything that you had. I just had one question. Well, two questions, actually, if I can. The first question was about that. It was to the earlier issue that Misty had brought up about screen recognition not working on older versions of iOS. Is that a known issue? Is that a known bug with Apple Vista, do you think?
I think it is. Yeah, it might be more of a limitation than a bug because you've got about 5 or 6 years worth of hardware. You're talking, you've got your this iOS, this latest 14. If you're running it on, the newest processor, the Fusion 13, and then of course there's going to be a newer one on the 12s. You're running out. You've got this latest, this new hardware. Then of course you go back to the 10, then the 8, the 7, the 6S. So you've got several years, and not just the processors, but you're dealing with, there's other even more techy, nerdy things in there that are going on, but
sure.
You're running these new products on a phone that was designed 5 years ago or 6 years ago. So as you're going through, you're kind of stepping through 5 or 6 years of technology advances. So yeah, you're going to have, and it does, there are warnings that sometimes you're going to have limitations where you have things that just, they're not going to work on the older hardware.
So screen recognition is not working on iOS or on iPhone 8. Is that what it was?
That's if it served my memory serving me right. Yeah, that's what I believe is going on.
Oh, okay. I thought I was hearing that she wasn't able to even turn it off.
She wasn't able to, to do any settings in it. The image recognition, there's not really a lot of settings. It's just on or off. But I did suggest that if that was a problem, that she could go in, she could make sure it's added to the rotor, and then she could make sure it's on or off.
Hey, guys, it's Misty again.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, you actually, I'm sorry, I think it was Chris, you're correct in what I said. I am able to, like, all of the screen recognition features appear to be turned on by default with my iOS 14.0.1, but I don't have any settings. So, like, I'm still getting the recognition. I'm hearing all the new stuff, but there are no settings to go into under VoiceOver.
So there's no VoiceOver recognition submenu.
Under settings, accessibility VoiceOver. No, there's no voice recognition.
There should be something called voice. Yeah. Normally
that's,
you would.
That's what
you
I wanted to hear about.
Yeah. You would expect to find, okay, because I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was called VoiceOver recognition is what you would look for under your.
I see nothing
VoiceOver
like that.
And you see nothing.
I see nothing like that.
That might go along with the fact that they really, I'm surprised you're, and how do you, I'm going to ask you, how do you know they're turned on?
Because whenever I encounter an image, for instance, I'll hear a little beep and then I'll hear a description.
Okay. So you do get the little beep with the description, but you don't have VoiceOver settings.
Exactly. Everything seems to be on, but I can't change any setting. There's no way. No menu.
Yeah, because one thing, since I don't actually have a, I don't have a device with that processor to test it on, but the I find it interesting that it's actually giving that to you. It's actually even functioning at all because I was just kind of, the info that I remember seeing was it's not available, and maybe.
Well, it's
kind of interesting. They didn't code it. They don't give you the setting option to load it, but
if it were a processor issue, it wouldn't work at all, but it obviously is. So they should give us settings for it, I would have expected.
Yeah, and maybe
I've heard
they
this
will.
Other people too.
Yeah,
so.
And they always could. There's we're still on 0.1.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And that's the one thing, and that's where I have to go, that's where even myself, I go out and if I see something strange like that, I go out to the Apple Viz website.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of reporting it to Apple Accessibility just in case it is some kind of bug or something like that, because it very much just seems, like you say, and everyone else is saying, it seems very strange.
Yeah, and you can do that too. You can report it to Apple Accessibility. Because, as a matter of fact, that's what folks on Apple Viz will do, because sometimes folks will get on Apple Viz and they'll complain about a problem. I'll say report it. The more people report it, of course, some folks will, if they have a problem, they'll go on Apple Viz and see, hey, are other people having this problem? And is there a workaround? And or is there something that I can do? Like, is there a strange thing? Like, if I stand on my head and shake my right thumb, it'll fix itself, and then they'll report it to Apple Accessibility.
Right. Okay.
That's how they find out that, hey, there's problems, and that's how the fixes get incorporated into the next, release.
Sure. Okay.
Well, I just had one more quick question. Is that all right?
One more, sure.
Sure. It was about the back button that Anna had mentioned. I'm not really familiar with this new back button.
Oh, it is. It's called the back tap feature. And it's something that's new with iOS 14.
Back tap. Okay.
Yeah, they call it back tap, and it's where,
one.
Yeah, you can tap on the back of your phone twice or three times. I like doing a double tap or a triple tap on the back of your phone, and it gets sensed, and you can actually assign those to various accessibility features or whatever. And like I mentioned, I said I hadn't really played with it, though I seen it. It's out there. You can actually, there's a podcast that talks about it on Apple Viz. It's in your, you can go into your accessibility and your VoiceOver settings, and you can tie things to that. And I believe it's like.
Actually, no, that's not what I was talking about. If you say you go into settings, accessibility, VoiceOver, Braille.
Okay. Are you talking about the back button on the
front? Yeah. So if you go up to the top left and you hold it, it will bring up a, like a dialog box, and it'll have options in there. So you have accessibility, VoiceOver accessibility settings. So if you don't want to push that back button so many times, you can just select one of those. Double tap on that.
Yes.
Gotcha. So it's a history. Okay. It's a browse history with, or.
Sort of. Yes.
Sort of. It kind of lets you go.
It's more like a breadcrumb, I guess.
You could be seven layers deep. You might have gone, you've opened up your settings. You've gone into accessibility. You've gone into voiceover. You've gone into speech. You've gone into language. And now you look up there, you got a back button. You can double tap that back button four times to get back to the top level. You can just go tap, 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 tap. Or you can hold it and get
double tap and hold. Right.
Yeah. And get a menu, context menu that will allow you to go, you know, go back to something more directly.
Nice. Okay.
So that's the expanded back button. Yeah. Sorry about that. There's some, you know, it's like, yeah, there's that. Then there was the back tap feature that, you know, that those are both new features in this iOS.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the back tap is useful. I assigned the back tap, I think it was a triple tap to the voiceover settings menu because I end up using with a braille display, I end up using voiceover, the braille settings menu quite a bit. So, I found that one to be useful, but I've heard of other people using even, you know, third party extensions of some kind. But anyway, that's a pretty neat feature.
Can I ask you a braille question?
Sure.
Have you found a command to put to your auto scroll yet?
I have not figured that one out.
That I cannot figure out because all of them are taken.
Yeah, that's... I have so there's a new auto scrolling speed that you can set within iOS 14, and I think you're saying that there's not a good keyboard keystroke assigned to it.
I can't figure out a keyboard to assign to it to get it to enable it.
Yeah, I can't remember what that one is.
Yeah, I've not played with that myself.
That's a stumper. Oh no, I gotta look for that.
The braille setting.
Well, if I can find it, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Do we have any other questions or comments? If somebody...
Tyler Shirk. Yes, Tony, good afternoon. I was just wondering, I have a really old iPhone. I'm very money tight right now. So I've had an iPhone 5 for like the past 5 years. And I'm looking to upgrade. And I was wondering what the price, you said that SE 2020 was affordable. What's that price run?
It's about, I think you could probably, and you might even get it cheaper now, because I got one back in April-ish, around that time. Pam and I both got one. And I paid, I believe, $449 for it. It was $399 for the 64 gig flavor. And for the 128 gig flavor, it was only $50 more. So, of course, I went with the 128 gig. But, and then you could get 256 gig for $550 or $549. But that now the, so of course, if you're money tight and you're trying to get the lowest in 64 gig is fine with you, then $399, I know you could get it for that. But there's very possible you might get it cheaper if you're through a deal with your phone company,
okay,
your internet through your phone provider, you might. But
okay,
that is the most you're going to pay is $399 for the 64 gig.
Okay, so what's the drawback between the 2020 SE and the iPhone 11, for example, and the newest iPhone? Are there any drawbacks? Is there a reason why they are cheaper? Is there a catch?
I've not found anything. Someone else might be able to address that, but I've not found any real drawbacks. The camera's good. I've had very good luck with the camera using scanners and barcode readers. I've had, you know, like Seeing AI and KNFB and various things such as that. I've had good luck. So it now one thing, if you're
the battery is smaller.
The battery is smaller. That you're right. That's a good, I was like grasping at stuff, but I think if you had an 11, the battery's a little better, but the battery's awesome. It's not terrible on the SE.
Also, Tony, this is Abby Fleener.
Yeah.
The 11 has like three different cameras
Yeah.
Instead of the 2 and
okay, you're talking the 11 Pro?
Yes.
Final questions or anything you want to highlight, Tony?
Well, I've definitely gotten some pretty good questions. I definitely appreciate those questions. And I, thank you all for having me on here.